If you don't have something to note, the question probably, or you do have, relax. If you don't understand the question, there is no harm to request a member to repeat the question in a manner which you understand. We ask that
I got an apology from Honourable Father Tonight, who indicated that the attitude of the IFP is not well. So from time to time, should be required to support the activity of that office.
Otherwise, we are here. We have to start with our interviews. As I've already indicated that we are down to 36 now, after the withdrawal of Madam Claire O'Neill from the list. I hope that you are welcome. Feel free, as I've already indicated, these are the members of Parliament. You are aware that it's a public process. That's why we have other people sitting there. It's more or less the same as the process we're from, that the public process is open to everyone and so on. However, in the interest of time, I request that members, as they ask questions, they introduce themselves, so that we are very clear who the member asks which question. Myself, from Kumbuzo Eric Kodwan, chairing the committee. Let me start with what we normally say at the end, good luck to the responses of the question. Members, our candidate is here, is ready for questions from yourself. But once members are putting together their questions, my first question will be the normal question, which everyone asks. Why should be you? Who finally make it to the 12th, to the last 12th? What is it exactly you think that you have or you deserve to be in the board of the SNPC?
Thank you, Chair. Members of the August committee, as well as interested third parties. Might I kick off by saying, firstly, Chair, I do welcome the openness, the transparency, and the fact that this is indeed a public exercise. It's good for our democracy. Secondly, Chair, might I then take this opportunity to also wish the Chief Whip of the IFP speedy recovery. And it's a pity that the Honourable Panel member is not here. One would have also benefited from these questions. But nonetheless, I believe those that are around are more than capable of putting you through the rigorous public test. And Chair, I don't know whether it's parliamentary or not, but I wish to start off by expressing my appreciation at the fact that I did make it to this list. And I'm sitting before the committee to do what I have to do. And as a side issue here, this is my fourth attempt. And I accepted that I did not have the birthright to be interviewed. So the fact that I am being interviewed is a true honor to me. And I say this in all sincerity, regardless of what happens, I am glad that at least I made it thus far. And I also, at the same token, wish to wish my fellow co-interviewees the best of luck, as well as the committee the best of luck in the difficult task ahead. Finally, I believe I am capable, I'm now ready, a long man assured, and I have bounced my head around to know what's right and what's wrong. I do believe that I am part of that collective that I think the SABC requires. It's about time that the gravy train stops and that those who do serve in the SABC, myself included hopefully, should know that they execute what it is that the constitution of the country expects of them to do in relation to the SABC. Without sounding arrogant, Chair, I believe that I am more than qualified. I have the requisite expertise to be part of this collective. I'm a lawyer in training, having been a lawyer, a good one for that matter, for just under 19 years, and having served my country in various capacities. And I think that's how, over the past couple of years, to find out what it is that we keep doing wrong. And I realized that we were missing the fundamentals. There is nothing wrong with the SABC. What is wrong with the SABC are ego personalities, lack of observance of basic rules of corporate governance, and perhaps people, for whatever reason, being scared to speak truth to power. Those who might have observed what I've done in my short life, professionally, as an activist, and in many other formats, would know that I do not shy away from speaking truth to power. And that, I believe, is a key ingredient that SABC collective needs. It would be slightly improper of me to speak about me as if I'm the Messiah, but what I can tell you, Chair, is my ability to be a team player. And I have this innate ability to magnetize people and make them pull in one direction, regardless of consequences. It's not my business to be a popularity contest. I've never been. But I do know when things are going wrong, and I can speak up. I also have the ability to make people realize that out of being cohesive, we tend to become better citizens. And ultimately, you know, the I gets overtaken by the we, and the we must be we, the people of South Africa. So I'm sticking my head up, Chair, it's not a fashionable thing. You know, for a man myself, I have tried four times, and it does show that, Chair, I believe in myself, and I believe that I have a role to play. And I'm saying this without being facetious. You know, it is not nice when one gets overlooked. But at the same time, God accept that there's 55 million other capable people. So you must just be patient and await your time. And I believe now is my time.
Thank you. Now is the time. You can switch off the mic. Thanks very much for the response. Let me allow other members to ask you questions. I will ask you now to write them down, and then you will respond probably in effect. Honorable Murutuwa, Lisoma, Kilen, Shin, staying in that order.
Thank you, Chair President. You know, I just came in when the candidate was telling us about himself. And I might not have had the opportunity to get the other part. And that was the reason why I'd like to ask this simple question. That what is his understanding of the broadcasting environment in South Africa in a college environment? And brought about the Electronic Communications Act, the one that you know, I think that we want to give certain clauses there. Also understanding the technology development in the present moment. I just want to ask that, and then I'll come back to you and ask other things. I want to understand what you have been telling us. Did I say it clearly when you said this is your fourth effort?
Through the Chair, indeed, I have responded to four public advertisements to serve in the board of SABC. Yes, it is true.
And let me assure you, she has been there in all those attempts. Not all of us, she has been there. On our approach, we can talk.
Yes, I've been there. I don't know what ever said of that. I'm trying to place his face. What's wrong? I can't remember you. Don't worry. As I look at you, it will come back.
I just want to place the honourable member. I said of the four attempts, this is the only one that enabled me to make the shortlist. And it was for that reason that I was appreciative. Yes.
Thank you. You were done with the question? Diploma?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you.
May you please introduce yourself? I forgot that we did introduce ourselves. We said when we ask questions, we do that. It's Honorable Mirekwa, the first one to ask you the question.
Thank you, Honorable Eric Chi Kulan, and my name is Marina Liswama, member of the committee. Through you, Chairperson, I would like to also say that appreciate that never lose hope. One day will be one day. Having said that, we have given you a very short, first of all, 5 minutes in terms of that you believe you are one of those who do qualify to serve on the board of the FABC. And also looking at the CV, in terms of law, you are very strong in that, that's why you're an advocate. Is there anything in terms of the Act now? Section 15A, in terms of the Act, Section 15, anything that you think that can disqualify you as the board, board member of the ABC. And also I heard you to say that you don't shy away of speaking. I will not suddenly use your words, but use the words not too far from what you said. I'll add one word on what you said, that you are not shy in terms of speaking the real truth, because truth sometimes could not be real to the powers may be. It's quite a profound statement. Having done, it's a comment that one takes, not a question. For me, Chair, that will lead me to a question that says that, and of course, as a member of this committee also, I'm not shy to say that I belong to a certain political party, but I'm doing this as well as a collective. Then the ruling party in 2007 resolved that SABC should be funded by government. In your view, then, an advocate, do you think that the SABC should continue to rely on commission resources and funding from government to achieve this mandate? And also then, related to what the other statement that you have made, does that perpetuate interference? Or what? The staff also on that one, which you denied me, in the same track as that, do you believe that the private sector can deliver better to the people that cannot afford? Chairperson, my third question would be, in terms of the Act of Section 6 or 5 of the Broadcasting Act, it requires the SABC to develop a range of policies that will enable to implement its programs and plans. From your input also, you have said that also you do have a fairly, because you are not inside the SABC, I'll use that word, fairly understanding of the challenges of the SABC. Without also saying which are those challenges, but for me, Chairperson, I would like to know that the Act mandates the board to do that. But the Act also in the thing that it's not clear on what the regulator's role should be in regard to the policies, as part of merely stipulating that the SABC board launch such policies with the council without setting out what the regulator needs to do. In your opinion or in your view as advocate, what should the relationship between the SABC and the regulator be the council? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sommer. Let's take Honorable Killen and then you respond and then proceed with the others. Otherwise, you might be called by the Honorable Killen.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would firstly like to ask the, my name is Julie, my surname is Kia. I would like to pose the question to the Solicitor Machado. First of all, because we are on the Communications Committee, Chairperson, we obviously also Google our nominations. Now, I just wanted to have clarity. Can we, if we consider your nomination positively, can we also have a commitment from you that the term of office is usually 5 years, may not exceed that, but will we have a commitment, and that will also be regarded as sort of a national service to the public broadcast? We know that you are a very busy person, we know you have a very successful firm that you're heading, but we have a commitment from you that you will get engaged in the business of SABC during very difficult and troubled time, but be committed to getting right on the right track. Understandably, the role of a board is not to be there on a daily management basis, but having seen the problem that the corporation faced, are you sort of a person, I'm hesitant to call it Mr. Fixit because I called the minister Mr. Fixit and it was not well received, but will you sort of be the type of person who will go in there, identify governance shortcomings, and also just pull things together within the board and remain committed, irrespective of the sort of problematic phases that one might see too? It's about commitment. We know you have a good history in some of the ASA and PSL that you have been involved with. If you could just give us background to that. Also your exposure to other boards and what you have found to be weaknesses. That are common weaknesses with, you know, some of the state-owned entities, etc., very often find themselves in dire straits because boards do the wrong things. What would you have derived from that? And what your personal contribution would be? I think your legal background would serve you well in that sort of circumstance. Then lastly, Jay, if Honourable Sorma referred to it, but if you look at the public broadcaster, it has a very specific mandate, and that is it must be the representative voice of all South Africans. And therefore, some of us in opposition, my party is the Congress of the People, some of us have always been very concerned about government providing more funding, but also giving more stricter direction. So, to a certain extent, it will depend very largely on the board and their understanding of what the law says about the role of the public broadcaster to be, in fact, the body and in terms of the objects of the broadcaster. As that is Section 2 of the Act, broadcaster, to contribute to democracy, development of society, gender equality, etc., and to ensure plurality of views. Now, those elements, are you sort of a person that is committed to making sure that the public broadcaster will give the news as it is, irrespective of whose toes will be stepped onto you? Can you please just give us that undertaking as well? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. It was not in my making that the two DA members will ask after we have responded from the first bench. Not my making, it was a order of hand. Advocate, you can respond.
Chair, you can relax. I'm quite cool with that. Fortunately, I can't put name to face and I therefore do not know who comes from what party and I take it in my sight. Just for the sake of good order, Chair, for some odd reason, I keep being referred to as an advocate. I am qualified as one, but I chose not to practice from the bar, I'm very more from the side bar. So I do not want it to be said that I'm withholding myself. I can wake up and call that tomorrow if I so choose, but I think to be precise for the Hansard, I am quite happy being called Mr. Majapu. I will...
you are not an advocate.
To be an advocate, you have to belong to
Okay.
And I chose not to belong to a bar.
Okay.
But if I want to wake up tomorrow and want to be called to that, I'll have to deregister my law firm and then go to the bar.
Okay.
Yes, so I thought I should just distinguish that.
Also for the process of this, you are with the manager.
Indeed, and I'm more comfortable. Even if I were an advocate, I would still, you know.
Okay, thanks for the correction.
Rather in order. Chair, let me attempt to deal with the questions and comments in the order in which they came, and it may well be that in some of my responses there may be a cross-pollination, and if I found one thing, I'm more than happy to re-clarify, but I do have a fairly photographic mind. Member Otoa, let me concede from the very onset that I am not a technological expert. What I can assure you is that I understand very well the instruments that brought about the SABC in the form that we know it, and what might have happened prior to that. What might have also brought about ICASA. I also attempted to be on the board of ICASA previously. But having said that, I understand technology fairly well for a tech lawyer. I have also participated in a space of digital migration in relation to how we, well, I'm saying because I'm hopeful the SABC lost the broadcasting rights to passport. I played in that space and I understood how the DGT came about. And I also understand the economic value that goes with that and why it is that we need to migrate digitally. The instruments that you referred to, the apps, are just enablers of a bigger scheme of things that was foreseen in 1995, you know, by those that went ahead of us. So I do not wish the committee to think that I'm holding myself to a technological expert. I'm not. But I can certainly understand technology insofar as it relates to the AEC and its money. ICASA was meant precisely to regulate those technological aspects. The SABC in the old order was the opposite of what the SABC is positioned to do now. It was an information machinery, rightly or wrongly, that was, you know, perpetuating a particular line of thinking. And when the advent of the new South Africa came into being, it had this in mind to say, let us transform all these instruments so that SABC can perform its multiplicity of duties in an all-embracing manner. That is why you will find reference to that being in the Constitution. And then the Broadcasting Act came about, preceded by the IBA. But all of those simply were instruments to make sure that you don't go to the past of what SABC used to look like. But remember, there was the involvement of ITC into the South African Digital Corporation. For that to be given life, you had to have ICASA as a regulator to deal with those specific and technical aspects. Migration, this and that, syntax of the soil. That understanding I have, and I do believe that that's all I need, because there are technical people that are employed to do that. But you can rest assured that I'm not like someone who is sitting in an audit committee and every country financials. In this instance, I want to play the broadcasting space. I did study broadcasting master's level. I did not complete, but I did do broadcasting. So it is not as if I'm completely clueless. I say no more on that. What do I understand about technology? Technology is technology. It involves ICT, all manner of communication platforms, your cell phones that you use today is technology, your TV that talks to you is technology. But I do not understand it to be my business to even have an in-depth understanding of that. I think there is too much talent in the bureaucrats within the SABC to deal with that. But most importantly, if you look at the adverts, it gave you a whole host of qualities that as a skills mix, the SABC board as a collective must have. I come more on the legal governance side and also on the labor relations side. And I will talk to that because when I deal with Mekiland's issues, I will demonstrate that. Having said that, I can assure you, ma'am, that I do have that adequate knowledge on the technology. Maybe so, I'm not disqualified either in terms of Section 15 or 16 or on any other basis in terms of the Companies Act, acknowledging that the SAB is a listed company and is incorporated in accordance with the company laws of this country. For avoidance of doubt and for the answer, I do not even have a criminal conviction. There were allegations that I hijacked someone's company, that company being Athletic South Africa. The National Director of Public Prosecutions declined to prosecute me and put a rider that there was absolutely no merit in the allegations against me. People came down short. I was appointed as an administrator of a national asset. And those from whom I was supposed to take over the business of administration deemed my acting in that capacity to be a criminal agent. I subjected myself to the rule of law and nothing came of it. And I forgave as a true typical patriotic South African, but I didn't take a deal to it. Other than that, there's absolutely no other basis of my being possibly disqualified on any conceivable legal basis. You are right, ma'am, it is not correct for the public broadcaster of the sort of SABC to continue receiving funding from the public figures. You can't run away from the fact that if people are looking or SABC is not run properly, you can't sit back and watch a constitutional instrument of such importance to go down. Of course, the public sector cannot perform better than the SABC. It's not in their mandate. It's a constitutional mandate of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, which I happen to support. But you must also understand that having read that, the SABC has got a dual function. It's got to pursue the public interest side of things and the commercial side of things. Now, it should generate its revenue commercially. And what it does, what it generates commercially, should cross-subsidize what it does on the public side of things. Because of the vastness of the mandate, there isn't enough money going around in any given situation. So you will have that dichotomy. But I think the idea here is to move towards an SABC that is self-sustaining. And it can become self-sustaining if people run it properly and acknowledge that it's a business. Which is why you cannot deal with it outside the scope of good corporate governance, which I have identified as a key weakness in the continuum. There's a whole host of others that I have identified. And I can assure you that I identified this, you have been generous to me because I'm not part of the SABC. But I have locked arms legally with the SABC. And they've come out short. Precisely because of the manner in which your head honchos carry on their business. One, people do not accept that it is a business and it must be run as a business. Two, people bring, in my view, their own cabalistic ideas and their political way into it when it's absolutely not necessary. Three, because of a lack of consequence, people continue to do wrong things or they continue not to do the right things and they get off scot-free. And as a person, they will walk away with huge settlement packages. I know this because I have litigated against the SABC, so I'm not putting fiction here. Which brings me to one of my observations and what prompted me to think that I can play a role. You see, what cuts across all the questions, and I'm coming to materials, is simply this. If we're a weak board, it is going to be overrun by executives. If you have a weak shareholder, the shareholder is going to be run by the board, which in turn is going to be run by executives. And in there lies the risk for disaster. And I say this with all humility. It is not incorrect for the shareholder to want to give strategic direction. But it is the manner in which that intervention is carried out that causes problems. We grapple, even in this parliament, you know it better than I do, this elusive concept of the separation of powers. At times it is the root of all evil. Because if we don't circumscribe each other's power, authority and mandate, we tend to get misunderstood even when we mean well. The MEC or the minister might seek to intervene in a manner that is regarded as undue interference, the board may seek to be biased, could regulate it in a manner that is also, you know, seem to be, you know, undue interference. But you see, you need the operability mechanism to make sure that that troika works. And in there lies the problems in the SABC. You've got examples, it's not my business to refer to them, but the point of the matter is, you've had a weak board, no disrespect to those who went before. You've had an executive that thought it could run the board, and the minute the executive locks horns with the board, what happens? People get suspended, you've got no legal services at the SABC, then what happens? You get taken to the cleaners, CCMA, Constitutional and Labour Courts, and then those that should have been fired end up with the handshake. And it's not their fault. If they were smarter than the SABC, so be it. But the point of the matter is, there are those basic mechanical problems that need to be corrected. And I see myself playing in that space as a collective. Might I then step on to Nathalie's? Yes, yes, and yes. You've got my commitment for 5 years. A piece of cake. Two, I am not as busy as you might think. In fact, I lament the fact that I have not been engaged as a professional as often as I should have been. You see, you will know more about me from Google because Google gets fed information from the media. I have done so much in the background that is less known about. I am not running a big successful law firm as I should be because I'm competing with big white law firms which my government prefers to brief over me, and I've made peace with it. I do not serve in many boards to render me unavailable. As a matter of fact, the only board of note, if I were to make it, in fact when I do make it, would be the SABC. Other than that, I serve in the County Lending Board, and I've only been serving there for 4 months. And prior to that, there isn't a single board that I served in that I even missed one meeting for. And I'm not talking about apologizing or sleeping out any or opening up a pack as you walk into the thing. I have 100% attendance. And I'm not the sort of person that sleeps in a meeting. I ruffle feathers and I engage robustly. And the SABC is not going to be an exception. So yes, we have that commitment. I have already touched on the issue of governance, but I can show you. Tell me, how can a structure of the membership such as the SABC operate for months without a group chief, executive, a group CFO, when we are dealing with serious financial issues, or issues that were serious financially? This migration we're talking about is going to be driven with a financial muscle. But we know where next to knowing what the hell is happening with regards to the CFO. It is shamefully sinful for people to be paid while they're sitting at home. It is not their fault if you don't have systems and mechanisms in place to ensure due process is expedited. But I lament the fact as a taxpayer, I lament the fact as a professional, I lament the fact as a South African citizen, because that does not bode well for your self-morale. I'm talking about executives who are earning good salaries, who are earning that sitting at home. What message are you sending to those guys, men and women who work up every day to make sure when you sit on our TV, the TV does come on? It can't be good. And we must be bold enough to say it. And I can tell you now, if you look at your previous group CEOs, all of them are sitting pretty. Sitting very pretty. And I'm not blaming them. I'm blaming the board, I'm blaming those of us who should have done what was to be the right thing. And it simply boils down to governance. There's a lot of unresolved labor matters, and labor matters, by the way, take time and a lot of money. And I can guarantee you, you have lost every single labor case that you had. You didn't come cheap, you paid huge legal fees, and good golden handshakes. I do not claim that I will solve all those, but at least I will be the gatekeeper in my oversight role and in my professional responsibility. And I can assure you that if I say the credit trade stops, it will stop. I have the capacity to influence the collective to make sure that we do the right things. When we make mistakes, we must stand up and, make good on our mistakes. You talk about the leadership, it's a non-issue of my life. Very painful process, but I will respond to it. I was actually deployed to go firefight, and I did exactly that. And it came down to the same thing. There was no governance, no fiscal discipline, and people thought that they owned national assets, and they were allowed to get away with that thinking. And I came in and I said, no more. This is how it's going to be run. In fact, I was quoted in one of the Googles where I said, I am the boss and I should not be so. I will pay the athletes. I will not pay executives for being absolutely bad at all. And after my mandate was done, I walked away and I waited for my next assignment. And in fact, the day my term of office ended, the ASA is the day I submitted my application to be considered for the SAC. But the point of the matter is, whether it's sports, it's politics, it's governance, public entities, SOEs, there's one common thread. It's good governance. If you get that right, you are well on your way. Lastly, if you look at what happened in cricket, I had the privilege of reading the Jack Nicholson report, wherein he attempted to get an understanding of why is it that the sporting federations are in the news for the wrong reasons, they seem to be fighting about this. And then he said, it's about time that you consider the skills mix that you have in the boards of directors at Manchester. It was sport, and he said, you need to understand that sport has evolved to such an extent that it is now business. You glad you're in this business. In your board of directors have the majority of non-executives, which is a concept that people in sport were killed for a long time ago. It's ours. Don't come and tell us. But people have begun to understand that it is a business. There's big money going in there. Same thing with the SABC. You are in charge of huge financial responsibilities, huge political responsibilities, but most of all, the Constitution puts serious responsibilities on you. You don't want to go in there just because you threw the stone the fairest. I used to have a career and I'm very proud of it. But I'm not going to go into an environment where I am not totally skilled to deliver on that particular mandate. That is why, as I'm sitting before you, I'm saying I'm not technocrat, but I am a solid legal practitioner. I have bounced my head around. I know business. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. But most importantly, and Chair, I say this at the risk of minimizing my chances, I am a seasoned activist, having done what a young man growing in South Africa that I grew in had to do. So my sense of appreciation and my political consciousness is upon to an extent that I understand. And I had the privilege of also, over and above being a club lawyer, going to school, and also lecturing, and having a stint in the army as a military judge. I've been in the reserve force. The point of the matter is, I am not inclined towards discipline and good order. It is my nature. And in all the spheres that I have served in, I was part of a collective. Lastly, and this is for the benefit of Memoroto, I also served in the judicial tribunals at FIFA. And one of the things that we regulate there is exactly the issues that we're talking about. I say no more on the issue, just to say that my exposure is well-rounded and I continue to learn from the collective wisdom of those that I work with on a daily basis. I think I have tried to deal with all the issues and I might have omitted one. But just so that as a parting shot, Chair, allow me to say this in all sincerity. You see, the SABC cannot be the news. They should give the news. And I think we need to reposition that thinking. For quite some time, they have been the news themselves for the wrong reason. And I do not have any doubt in my mind that it has, at all material terms, been led by very capable and decent human beings. Highly skilled, some of them more qualified than I can ever be in a million years. But I think they missed the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are simply this. Why am I here? At whose instance am I here? What are the instruments that can make me be here? If you answer those in the negative, you are well on your way. There's no us, there's no them, there's no I, there's no me. You cannot have a board that speaks in a multi-tongue. Apparently, I'm trying to distill in my mind share, and if you can do that in thousands of sisters. If we do not
allow you with the hope that probably answering other questions is going to come, but we may not see.
Yes, I was hoping to do that share. And thank you for that. Just to demonstrate the point, you cannot in any organization have a situation where the board or the NEC for that matter, or a caucus for that matter, comes out of a meeting of its own and they convey different messages. It's saving the extreme. Because what it does do, it conveys a message that you have not even been able to resolve your differences. We've got to disagree, it's good to disagree. And one of the things that I find particularly lacking, or that I observed over the past 3 months about the SABC board, was its inability to contain their differences inside the chamber as a board. And I think that is lamentable, and that is where we need to begin. It is not that the people who were there not capable, they didn't understand the mandate, but I think at times people tend to overplay their hands a bit. And that is a recipe for disaster. Because if you've got a weak board, it cascades all the way down right up to the gatekeeper. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nanda. Okay, I got it right. Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chair. Good job. My name is Marion Shin. One thing that has surprised me listening to your presentation now is that you have a fair amount of broadcasting knowledge. You have a fair amount of technical knowledge, and you're not an expert, but you talk about digital migration. Yet none of that's in your CV. You know, and this is just something I find quite questioning, you know. It's because, I mean, you've got a lot of potential, it would seem, a lot of knowledge of the industry. Yet none of that comes through in the CV that you have submitted. So I'm wondering why you chose to leave out the fact that you taken on the SABC and they've lost, which would have actually been quite a fit in your cap to come before us. Just a minor observation. Then I also want to know, why broadcasting? You know, there are many boards and other organisations you could serve. What is it about broadcasting that you want to get your hands dirty with? And so if you could just have a few answers on that. Then you talk about speaking to power.
To power.
Now, within the SABC, who do you see as that power that you, the board member, need to speak to and need to tackle? Where do you think the balance of power should be in the SABC? Then there's also talk about that the SABC, in order to guarantee its independence, should be a Chapter 9 institution. What are your thoughts on that? And then just briefly, if you can list some of the Acts of Parliament that will guide your role as a member of the SABC board. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Steyn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Madago, my name is Butch Steyn. You answered some of my questions in your responses. However, there's a few issues that I want to touch on, and one of them happens to be what my colleague just raised. In your responses, you mentioned that you had done some broadcasting course which you did not complete. However, it doesn't appear on your CV at all. I also believe, by the way, that you've listened to you, yeah, that your CV does you a great injustice. And that, again, links on to what my colleague said. But let me go to some of the issues that you may not have answered or completely answered. Your professional history goes in your CV up to 1999, thereafter you became a lecturer in the School of Translation at Wits, besides running your own practice. Your CV also indicates 10 board memberships that you may have sat on, but doesn't indicate which ones you currently still sit on. You did mention the Gauteng board, but in terms of the others, there's no indication where you sat on them, for how long, and whether you're still on them. You've only mentioned the Gauteng Liquor Board. I think it's important for us to know how busy, it relates to a question and if you've partly answered, how busy you are on other boards. You also, I think, very eloquently spoke about the SABC's legal the legal people that they employ and their competence. And I'm just wondering, knowing what you know, having come up against that, don't you believe that perhaps you would better serve them and the country at large if you actually tried to become their legal representative rather than being in opposition to them, since they don't seem to be winning any cases against you or other legal people? Because it does sound like you could probably make an equal contribution in that field, because you probably know as a board member you won't physically be participating in those legal processes. You may be able to give guidance, but you actually won't. So it's just something I'm throwing out at you, that maybe a role that you can be of better service, given the information that you've given us. Lastly, you spoke about being a team player, but you also indicated that you would not hesitate to put your head above the parapet. Now, that could somewhat be a bit of a contradiction, because by being more inclined to put your head above the parapet would probably not make you a team player. If you can just elaborate on that, please. Thank you.
Thank you, my prophet.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to do a follow-up, but other two members did tell for me. Your broadcasting experience was mentioned in your CV. I'd like you to mention what specifically about your broadcasting experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Sir.
Thank you very much. My name is Susan Berger. Mr. Majad, when you were telling us who you are, you know, you were so passionate. Like, you have been there in the SABC, you know what's happening, the board, the officials, and the minister, but other members have asked you these two questions. But give me your response, Mr. Majas, I'm not here. If you can just be straight to the point, do you understand the funding model of the SABC? Do you understand it? Understanding that funding model, what can you propose? Is it the current funding model working? Or there's something wrong with it? If there's something wrong with it, what must be done? That is number one. Number two is around the issue of separation of power. We talk about the board, the shareholder, and the executive, but you're too general. In your understanding, what must be between the three? And therein comes the issue of political interference. Currently, how do you view what is happening within the SABC and government? Is there any political interference? Because some of your remarks when you're presenting your views, I felt like there's something like you've been there before. In terms of the separation of powers, I want you to do too much on what is the role of the, you understand in terms of the role of each of them, the three, as you have mentioned. And again, you said you are an outspoken person, you speak out. You must also couple it. As a board member, what do you mean when you say that now you are an outspoken person? As of now, take yourself not being an ordinary Mr. Majabu or ordinary Susan. Now you are a member of the board. There are happenings in the board. What do you do? Because it is one of the challenges that has been there in the previous board. They were not able to contain what is happening in that. Maybe, unless I don't understand when you say you are outspoken. Lastly, Chair, you said for 19 years you've been a lawyer, and that's what you know best, I think. I just want to check with you, and you've also acknowledged that you don't know much, you know, but don't know much about technology and broadcasting, but you are willing to learn, you have read many things, blah, blah. I just want to know this law or LLB you have, how will it assist the board in terms of taking it forward? Not mentioning the issue or repeating all that you have said when you were making your inputs. That's the chair. Now let me not ask that, and I know you are saying that it's the wrong answer when you will ask it. I leave it for you.
I don't know what is that. Mr. Majaku, let me just take the two members, Degan and Tandy, so that you sum it up and then probably the follow up member can follow up. My apology to put more, but I realized since you have started to speak that you have the capacity to consume more. Honorable Tandy?
You seem to feel very strong about the autonomy of SABC, that it must serve the public, and that is as we agree with that. But when you then say it must run like a business, maybe you can expand more what you mean. Secondly, it must also derive its income from commerce. That is another thing we'd like you to notice, it loses its autonomy, because if it runs from adverts, those that place adverts will also influence it in a sense, directly or indirectly, basically or explicitly. Maybe this brings the last question. In your studies, did you come across a international experience where you've got a broadcaster whose revenue decides that it can have that revenue either from public sector or from government, but still retain its autonomy in terms of serving the public interest?
Thank you, Honorable President.
Thank you, Chair. It's just a follow-up on the question that was raised by the Honorable Sir. Mr. Majaku, you seem to have an understanding of what is happening in the SABC. But mine is based on your understanding of the public finance management sector. You are aware that SABC is a state-owned entity, reporting to DOC, the members of shareholder. So I want to check your understanding of the Public Finance Management Act. Also, you will recall that King III dedicates an entire chapter to boards and directors and highlights the pivotal role that directors and committees of the board must do in achieving good governance. Can you also share with us your understanding? You link it in particular with the provisions of the Governance Act. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Majaku, you may respond.
Chair, once again, I welcome the myriad of questions, and I will attempt once again to deliver them in the order in which they were raised. But
probably just to come in, what you can do, those you think are similar, can come to you.
Yes.
So that,
I am a sucker for completeness. I was just foreshadowing that by indicating where I believe two members asked a similar question. I will indicate so that no member should feel that their steps have been sidestepped. For example, the last question that talks about the FMA, I was going to deal with it when I deal with the machines, because the cutting short was also to indicate what acts do I think were relevant. So I'm just saying I should not be seen to have been laconic in my approach. But having said that, let's just say it is indeed true, depending on what version of my CV you are looking at, that there may well be those instances where it's not clear. You would appreciate that I mentioned that there were my four attempts, and I suspect that what might be before you may be what I would have submitted many months ago. But the version that I submitted recently would have made it very clear when did I start acting in a particular position, until when, which one is still current, because that's the way it's supposed to be done. But assuming that it's not done, I take a point that you made. Why did I not make a meal about my broadcasting experience? I never said I have broadcasting experience. And I said, as one of the modules that I did in my master's course, I did take broadcasting as a module. And I thought it would have been proper to make a meal of it when I never completed my studies in its entirety, lest I am accused of holding myself out to be. And secondly, when you respond to an ad, you fashion it in line with the skills mix, as I understand it, that is required. If I was of the view that I was coming more on the broadcasting side, I would have exaggerated that, but that is not what I'm before you claiming to have. And I thought, let me be honest with myself. There's many things I've also done a bit of telecoms short courses, but I did not think they were worth making a mention, seeing that the thrust of my application is more on governance and legal issues. So that is the only reason why you may, on mere blasting, that my CV does me a disservice. There's a lot of things that are done for my country which did not make the stress onto my CV, and precisely because I didn't think they were pertinent for the specific role. But I do apologize to the extent that it is a shortcoming. It's that, nothing else, nothing less. But I am to tap onto that when I respond to questions. But I know the spirit in which that concern was raised, and is indeed a valid concern. Yes, being a team player and also being outspoken may be one side of the same coin. The point of the matter is, there is this tendency that we should all agree because we come from a particular background. And I'm saying, no, I'm not going to agree something that does not make sense to me, legally, ethically, morally. And not only will I not agree, I will speak about my disagreement and motivate and explain why I hold a different view. But at the end of it all, once the collective made a decision, I will punt the view of the collective as though it was mine. That is robustness. In fact, the Companies Act also contemplates the concept of what is called a dissident director. To say in your board, if you do not agree, you must insist that your disagreement and the reasons therefore must be recorded. And it does not mean that you are not a team player or a part of a collective. At times you benefit more from disagreements. At times the ANC government benefits more from the DA and all other opposition parties. A weak opposition will not make for a strong ruling party. I'm applying the same logic. So there is honor in disagreeing as long as you do it decently and you justify your reasons for disagreeing. The point is, I'm not the sort of person that's going to roll over and die. I am going to raise my disagreement in that appropriate forum. And when you go up there, you'll be surprised I'll be the most pronounced proponent of a view that I might have disagreed on, because I would have been subjected to the collective wisdom. You win some, you lose some. The whether or not I understand is the funding model. You see, the funding model is not really an invention for me. It is legislated. Let me tell you, the Act tells you that you've got the commercial wing and you've got a public wing. It even tells you that the commercial must not subsidize the public. That is what the law says, and that is how I understand the law to be. Whether or not it works or it might need to be revisited is a matter for another day, but you have to go through those processes. Now, Dr. Khan, the broadcaster in this country, as I understand it, is not only the SABC. There are other broadcasters. But the national broadcaster that must enhance the plurality of views is the SABC. And the Act tells you how its income should be generated. And I've been fair to say, at times we have not even fully exploited the commercial capacity of the SABC. Because we're busy thinking about things that distract us from keeping our eye on ball. Of course, we also generate revenue from the licenses, but it's a teeny-weeny bit that you can generate from licenses that most of us don't even pay. The point of the letter is that duality is going to be with us for a long time. You've got other broadcasters that do not have the same legislative mandate as the SAC. You look at each year, that may be free to air, but they are not anchored in the same constitutional principles. And that is what makes the SABC distinguishable. Whoever sits in that board, I don't subject himself to a public scrutiny like I'm trying to do here today. They couldn't give a damn. There's nothing in law that says that should be the case. You do give a damn here because the law forces you to go through a transparent and public process. We've got multi-choice. How they derive their revenue and all of those things, it's a matter between them, their shareholders, and the board. But with the SABC, with respect, we do not have that luxury. But that does not mean we cannot begin to look at how do we make sure that we carry out our public mandate at the same time increasing our commercial benefits in a manner that does not basically suggest, as you say, if I get money from you, it means I'm losing my autonomy independence. Actually, nothing could be further from the truth. The independence of the SEC or the autonomy is legislated, so it cannot be in any other manner. The separation of powers in nature. You see this concept, you will come into contact with it as a parliamentarian in two instances. One, in the context of separation powers of the organs of state, in the manner that you know it. You can't let the executive judiciary tell the executive what to do, and so on and so forth. But the separation of powers that I am talking about is within the context of corporate governance. Allow me, for the detail made on this issue, and explain it in the context that I meant. I did not say there is political interference in the SABC. I said, if we are not careful about how we respect each other's boundaries, we may tend to be misunderstood as interfering in an unjust manner. I said there is absolutely nothing wrong in the shareholder of the SABC giving strategic direction or intervening when things are way horribly wrong. You must hold that particular minister to account. And even when you do so, you are not doing so because you are being Big Brother. You are doing so in the context of oversight, parliamental oversight. The shareholder in turn has a responsibility to give strategic direction to the board. And how the shareholder does that is critical. Because if you have a shareholder who is going to come with an overbearing attitude, even if the intentions are good, you run the risk that you may be misunderstood. I need not go any further. I was privileged to be sitting when the minister was doing the briefing. And much time was spent on what happened between the minister and the DG. It was a classical case. We were told, the minister said, he said, at the end of the day, it was reduced to a personality clash. That's what was said in Parliament. And I'm saying that's precisely the type of conduct that must be carried against. Because it may well be that the former minister may have been on point on what she wanted to resolve. But the way in which she went about it, rightly or wrongly, had an opposite effect. And I don't mean to sound feminist or sexist, then you have two strong-willed women, neither of whom could march to reason, and before you knew it, you almost had a national disaster in your hands. And that is the type of issues that I'm talking about to say, we need to respect each other's space and understand. It cannot be that because I'm the minister, I'm the boss, I'll tell you, and vice versa. You cannot have a DG that does not respect the minister and understand the symbiotic relationship that they must play. Taking it a step further, you have CEOs who think because they were headhunted or they were appointed on so-and-so's good recommendation, therefore nobody can tell them anything. You have instances where the CEO thinks he's actually running the board. Or when the board seeks to intervene to give strategic guidance, it gets misconstrued. These are the things we must face it, ladies and gentlemen. That are causing us problems. Let's not beat about the bush or scare around it. 90% of the time in your state-owned entities, these things collapse not because of anything else. They collapsed because precisely people did not respect the separation of powers, or there was a lapse of diplomacy somewhere. And we cannot, when we are governing national assets, afford to miss those fundamentals. So the separation of power that I am talking about is with specific reference to that. Let me give an example of where the courts have pronounced. There is a case that is reported in the Supreme Court of Appeals where one NEC says to the board of an entity of which is a sole shareholder, you will move from premises A to premises B. Finish at last. The board says, no, in terms of the company's, in terms of King 3, in terms of the PFMA, we have a fiduciary responsibility that must discharge. And therefore, decisions that we take as a board must be informed by those principles and legal instruments. And because of the manner in which the respect for each other's space was misunderstood, the one thought, I'm going to show them, they don't respect my authority. The other thing, we're not going to be pushed around because we've got legal duties. I don't know who's right, who's wrong, but the fact of the matter is, they ended up taking each other to court. Something that went contrary to the intergovernmental framework that says attempts to plan resolve your disputes amicably. That dispute will be there, it's a given. But the issue is how do you navigate those non-equators? And the Supreme Court specifically said, NC is not your place. You ought not to have done that because you failed to appreciate a very basic tenet of your separation of powers. It is there in the Supreme Court of Appeal judgment. The court says, in fact, had your board asked for a cost order against you personally, who were inclined to go that route. These things are telling. Another example, Rivonia High School, that's a school governing body. Welcome a high school governing board. And if you read what the judgments are saying, and this is the point, we need to be alive to this. The court says, HOD, the business of making admissions policies vests with the school governing body. Even if you don't like it, there are certain processes intergovernmentally that you must follow. If you don't show that, you are overstepping your mandate. Now, it's not my job to speak. It's what the courts of this country have interpreted the concept that I'm beginning to explain. And I am saying, for as long as we do not appreciate that there are roles and mandates and space that we must, you know, give each other, with all the good intentions, not going to have problems. You know, this morning, the chairman says, this issue, as far as we are concerned, is closed because we as a parliament referred it on a narrow point. And based on that referral, the minister satisfied himself that no wrongdoing was done. And we as parliament accept that. What I understood the chair to be saying is that we're mindful of, you know, the space that you must give each other. And you then came and said, actually, but we continue to raise these issues. It cannot be that officials will not subject themselves to our oversight. But on the other hand, I did not hear you to say administrative. You will tell the minister how he must let go on doing his duties. And that was informed by an acknowledgement, tacit, implied, or otherwise, that for us to function properly, we've got certain roles and responsibilities that must be separately circumscribed. And it is that point that I'm making in relation to how I see the challenges at the CBC. And you know for a fact that some of these examples play themselves out publicly. Even in the board, you cannot have the chair of the board saying X and the deputy saying Y. It's not good, it's not humane, it sounds a bit unnatural for one of the talent. But it does not mean the board and the chair and the deputy must always agree. It is good for them to disagree. It is the management of that disagreement that I'm talking about. Lastly, Mr. Steyn, it may well be that I could, perhaps the ABC have been part of the legal team. But I think I've gone beyond that. But because you raised it publicly, and I'm saying this unflinchingly. I have attempted to be on the panel of the SADC's legal services providers. To date, I still do not have a valid number, so it is not as if I didn't try. I tried, but you know, at times you've got to move on. I don't have a death right to these things. There's only so many lawyers, and I'm quite confident that there are other equally skilled people who, through my oversight, respecting my space and their space, we can still make an excellent team and just make sure that this open freeway of people just coming to take money from the SABC has come to a stop. If I were one of those people who benefits from that chance, I would have benefited myself. If you don't have good policies in place and the benefit you financial, I'll take advantage or not. The acts, let's count. Definitely the Broadcasting Act, the Public Finance Management Act and its regulations, National Treasury, the guidelines and the guarantees from the Auditor General, purely because we are on the public business. But most importantly, the Companies Act also regulates your conduct, the Criminal Procedure Act also regulates your conduct, Prevention Against Organized Crime and Corruption Act also comes into being. To the extent that I want a tender to my friend and not disclosing, it becomes corruption that is specially regulated. Not even the PFMA normally will help you there. So, at the very least, I've counted 7 of the acts that I am alive to, that I do believe can also play a role in how I discharge my responsibilities. And of course, if I leave the board, I'm not much of a member of the board, and I participate as such, when we go outside, there's no much of you. I'll be very disappointed in fact if my fellow board members ascribe a particular view to me. And I'm sure the same thing happens in this house. It's a multi-party democracy, we fight, we call each other names, but when we step out of that board, if the chair has sit down in the government and say, this is the ruling, we all respect it. It's no different in commerce, it's no different in the SAC. And yes, I will continue to speak against what I do not agree with in that context. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw Honorable Zabe wanted to make a follow-up on her machine.
Thank you very much. I just want to correct one thing in a way of commenting for the interest of time. When I was raising the issue of political interference, I never meant you said there's a political interference. What I wanted to know is that in your view, how do you view SABC currently? Is there any political interference? It was a question, not that you have said so, no. Number two, around the issue of funding money, I still care that there's not probably maybe the first for Mr. Majabu to say there's an X, we all know there's an X. But obviously there's a reason why members are asking that question. And obviously there's a reason for us as members to ask you whether it's working. This is the most important thing. Are you familiar with the X, yes or no? But the main issue is for you to tell us, according to you, in your own view, is the current SADC funding model working according to your own view? So that maybe by chance or by luck, you get appointed into the SADC, but the process of amending the Act itself kicks out when you are there, then at least you have also a risk act from this side. What must happen? So the main thing is not about X in terms of the funding budget, it's about whether it's working or not. And Honorable Kekana also, I think though he didn't mention the funding budget, the funding model, but he was leading towards the same. But is there any country that you know that has something separate than what we have as the SABC that you can share with us? Thank you.
Thank
you, Chair. I just wanted my questions answered, please. What do you think of the view that the SADC should be a Chapter 9 institution? Why do you choose broadcasting? I mean, what is it about broadcasting when you could be on perhaps any other kind of board? And I asked you who do you said you spoke power, since you spoke to power, was one of your strong points. Because SABC, do you believe, has the power, and whether that is appropriate, whether it should be in that person entity level of government's hands?
Chair, allow me to start. Thank you once more for the response that you have given us, Mr. Macha. Chair, to say sometimes we ask a question and we would like to get the view as we ask questions, not precisely because we are going to penalize or form a judgment or a position that will work negatively or positively towards you. And that's one. Two, Chair. I'm sure in that response also from Honourable Ntambi's question in terms of the appreciation of the law that governs the institution which is the SABC at the same time. And you correctly said that any SOE, if I can may use that word, should also appreciate that it should operate as a business. I'm not saying that the point I'm going to make to say we are shying away from that. One would have had much interest also just to say where we are tabling that in terms of your King 3, in terms that deals corporate governance, your risk issues and so forth, related issues in terms of that aspect. That's a comment and a statement, Chair, on that one. My second one will be, which is my last one, which I hope the Democratic Party now are going to be a little bit economical in terms of their response. Because some of them is just a repeat, it's just that we didn't get it clearly. We just want to tease it out in terms of their response. It's to say, we are understanding what is the role of the board, because in terms of the Act, if I may just pick up from the Act, page 33 in terms of section 13 of 13, it says that the board is the accounting authority of the corporation, okay? Which means that there's a little bit of a thin line between the executive and the board, led the executive led by your CEO as it may. With that understanding of the Act, in your understanding then, Mr. Madoff, what is the role of the board versus the executive directors, and most importantly, what is the functions and responsibilities now with the SABC in particular? Of the GCEO and editor in chief, versus the functions of the head of radio, television, sports, and education, sport, and youth. Should the GCEO and editor in chief roles be separated? And if so, why? If not, why also? So I'm picking up on the first question what the Honourable Senator has asked in terms of the separation and also the interference as it may, and also the good running of the corporation as it may. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. So, Honourable Shumar, especially in that end, my question. The reason why we are asking you, Mr. Madawu, your understanding of the process, you recall that the SABC has been their governance, performance, and corporate issues have been in the media for quite some time. And then maybe I'll look to see what is to know your understanding of the King 3. And what is expected of you, because once appointed you are going to become a board member in the director company. For you to just mention the act, we wanted you to share with us your understanding. So that is like to say, this is what is expected of me if appointed an opportunity to serve in the board of the SABC. And then you know that also historical challenges that are there in your own. What do you think should be done so that the SABC at the end of the day it complies, it actually could cover?
Are you done? Thanks very much, that was the last batch of questions. Unless you say something to the member to follow up on the response. Can you please respond that please be short on the question, on your responses, because I think we have already elaborated.
in most of the cases, what is needed in our just direct response to the answer to the question.
Chair, let me start with Meshi. When I said I speak truth to power, I would have thought that I would be understood to be saying it figuratively. I was not referring to a specific power. It's a, maybe for my sins, I should have said I speak the truth robustly. There isn't a power in the FNDC that I was speaking about that in relation to. All I meant was that I will always speak my mind and I will do so truthfully. If I have to say it to the minister or to the president for that matter, the principle remains the same. I will do that. I also do not think that there is a power block necessarily within the SADC. If I blame in the space of the board, I will speak my truth in the context of the board discussions, and to the extent that we have to engage the shareholder, I'll do exactly that. I mean it in that manner. Why broadcasting? There is no specific reason why I would have elected to study broadcasting like I studied many other aspects of the law. You know, when I was growing up, I was fascinated politically about the power of propaganda. And I wanted to understand exactly how is it that certain of these things were achieved, you know, through broadcasting. Some people would say in other quarters was radio potato, which was a form of broadcasting. I took a keen interest on that. And it is for that and no other reason. And I also mentioned that I had attended to be on several other boards that are not necessarily broadcasting related. But I apologize for not having answered you directly. Those are the two issues that you raised. There's no chair, sorry. Sorry, I'm not sure of the processes when this happens. Sorry.
No, yes, it has got to the sense that we are here.
Okay. It's not that I thought they never wanted to follow us, so I wasn't sure that it's parliamentary for that to happen, but I'm quite ready to take a follow up.
Please give me your views on whether you think it should be a chapter 9 institution for its
independence. Ma'am, I do not think that that is necessarily the correct route to go. Take into account the commercial space within which the SAG may want to participate in the broad scheme of things. So I would personally not hold that view. But it may well be that the WHRP in this policy conference might take a different view, but directly I don't think there's a need to do so. Thanks. The honourable member, I apologize for misunderstanding your question on political interference. I really meant well. My view of what is happening at the SAEC, when you say currently, is a bit of a curveball, because the current situation at the SAEC, I have no reason to believe that there are those given challenges that would warrant me to say there is political interference. But if you were asking that question 2 months ago, my answer would have been probably yes, there is, and there is an actual one. Yes, sorry. You know, so that is the same thing which I would have answered that. And with regards to my understanding of K3, I understand, let me put it this way. You see, there's this over inflation of the status of K. And I'm going to have to explain this in a manner that you will understand the nature of my response, because actually, above him, the report, are the instruments, the acts of parliament. And for some other reason, this king seems to be given a status that it is above acts of parliament. It's not. They make recommendations to the lawmakers, and the lawmakers make the act. A lot of what you see in King 3 has actually made its way in the newly amended Companies Act. However, because the question is specifically about King, as a board member, in line and alive to what King recommends, I accept the following. One, I am sitting in a fiduciary responsibility. I owe the SABC as a corporation a duty of care. I may not conduct myself in any manner that may be perceived to be insider trading. I may not benefit myself and my next of kin without declaring properly. I will therefore not benefit commercially in a manner that is contrary to what the FABC Charter has to say on a specific issue. And all that I have said in relation to Kimberley is of equal application to the Companies Act. What the Companies Act does, it takes a step there, it criminalizes certain conduct. So say, if you behave in this manner, or if you fail to observe certain rules, these are the sanctions. So basically, Kimberley informed part of your PRMA, the MFMA, your POLCA, and most importantly, your treasury regulations. So there is a symbiotic relationship amongst those instruments. I have not singled Kimberley out because I thought that they need to be seen together. And most importantly, what King also recommends is that to ensure good governance, we've got to have certain board committees. And he also makes the point in his wisdom that it is not proper for the chairman of the board to also be the chair of the audit committee. And in different instances, there are certain committees that are deemed to be mandatory, like the audit and risk. Every incorporated entity must have that. That is what King says. And my government agreed with King because that made its way into the Companies Act. Now, if you also read King, King also entrenches this notion, yeah, separation of powers. Because obviously when you begin to understand how committees work and how they filter through to the main board, you then begin to understand that there is no reason for us to step on each other's toes because you should be operating within a fragmented and a circumscribed manner. Over and above that, King recommends that each committee must have its own charter, which is a compact that it has amongst its members to say, in the execution of our duty in this committee, this is how we will conduct ourselves. Just as parliamentary committees also have their own code of ethics or whatever else you call it. That is what King says, but it's not telling us something that the government and the lawmakers hadn't quite figured out. But yes, it is of equal application. Let me take a step back. We talk about King 3. You see, if you go back to King 2, his application or recommendation was limited. There were certain entities that were excluded from the scope. And it was then realized that because some of these things are falling through the cracks, it ambit needs to be brought into debate. That brought about King 3. And based on the recommendations made in King 3, it was necessary to then amend the Companies Act in the manner in which we knew it to ensure greater regulation for all of these entities. That is why when people talk in three, people talk in three as if it is all and be all, but in actual fact it is subordinated to the legislation that it gives rise to. Chair, I am not sure if I am missing anything because members are throwing, you know, many questions and I don't mean to sidestep. Honourable Member reminded me of a question that I hadn't answered and I did answer it. And I'm asking in the same spirit, if there is any specific question that I might have overlooked and left to be guided accordingly, and I'll respond as best as I can.
Thank you. I hope you have covered all the questions from members. The Indian part of your response was I went out. Thanks very much for the responses to the question. I just hope that if you can get it right.
I do, sir.
No, that was the room I said. We are done with the interview. All the best, as I indicated at the beginning. We shall be set 36 for 12 positions, which are the same. And second, let me also clarify that it's not explicit that the pro tem can be 5 years. The president can determine any number of years provided they don't exceed 5 years of the pro tem. Thanks very much, Mr. Majaro. I'm skeptical to say to do what to say anything because it seems to be talking too long. So I might be putting myself in trouble running behind schedule almost with an hour, but not because of you, because of the first issue we're dealing with in the minute.
But in a minute, do you want to say something before we...
I think that's on a minute, yeah. I'm saying in my culture, it is always proper. When you've been invited, you have to salute and say, you know, thank you. Thank you for hosting me. It's all between, it's out of my hands now. It's between you and the collective, and I will abide by the decision. Thank you very much. That was 16 seconds.
Thanks very much. Oh, you know how to behave when you are talking. So I should have started that at the beginning. But thank you very much. We had that all the best. Members, it's 22. We need to break for lunch. I don't want to suggest the break. When can you come back? It's 4:00 now. It's up to you, but the maximum should be an hour. But then you can minimize it if you want to. We want this to be a letter, okay. You are making an impact.
Chairperson, I wanted to recommend that we only take a break of 45 minutes until 2:30. Well, we could also take a break of half an hour, but it's at the maximum. No more than 45 minutes, please, Chair.
Members, 45 minutes is fine. Okay, that is very much, members. Let's take our next candidate at part two. But the other thing, members, is that there might be disturbed in the other interviews because they might be voting in the house. Because we requested that if there's a voting, we must be able to go into the house to perform those duties and then also continue with our work. Thanks very much. Let's meet at part two. Mr. Madag, you are welcome to have some finger thing. I don't know why it's called finger lunch, but they call it finger lunch or something. We'll be back at part two. Thank you, members.